This lesson is in two parts. First, in St. John chapter 20. Gospel according to St. John chapter 20. Reading at verse 11, which is the account of the risen Lord meeting Mary of Magdala. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 20 at verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let us pray. Speak to our minds and spirits, O God, as we give ourselves in concentration to this thy word of truth, that we might profit by it, and our profit may be to thy praise. For we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This Thursday forthcoming is a national holiday in Western Europe. Interestingly, schools close, stock markets close, banks close. It's Ascension Day. Strange, isn't it, that in the European churches that are virtually empty, small percentages worshiping, witnessing, Ascension Day remains yet a national holiday that we could link the holiday observance of Ascension of our Lord to the meaning, to the reality of that ascension. For it is 40 days after Easter that our Lord Jesus went bodily away from this earth into heaven. And 10 days thereafter, with the Father, sent the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost. Ascension must not be lost by us, either in official observance or in spiritual understanding. And to that end, looking first in the 20th of St. John's Gospel, I would give you a caption for thought: urgency. Urgency, first of all, concerning the ascension of our Lord bodily into heaven. The picture is here of Mary Magdalene, faithful woman, going to tend the body on Sunday morning, encountering the risen Lord, surprisingly so. The picture we infer from the passage is, according to verse 16, after hearing her name spoken by him, turning in surprise and astonishment, and in gladness, very likely clutched him about the knees as she fell before him, calling him Rabboni, teacher. And the Lord Jesus speaks to her, and it says in the New King James translation from which I am preaching, "Do not cling to me." An older translation has it, "Do not touch me." He is not saying to her, "Do not touch me as though I do not actually exist. I am an apparition, a phantom." He said to St. Thomas, "Touch me. I am real. I am he who was crucified. I am alive. Touch me. Thrust your hand here, Thomas, and believe." Here, it really has the meaning, as that same word has, "Don't restrain me. Don't try to hold me back." Because the ascension is about to occur. Never mind that it was 40 days. 40 days. What did you do 40 days ago? 40 days passed quickly in light of the redemptive work of Christ, in light of our lives. The Lord Jesus, as he encounters Mary of Magdala on resurrection morning, has a sense of urgency. Don't hold me back. I'm about to ascend. But there's certainty about that. I am going to ascend. It is about to occur. And Mary, you must understand, don't cling to me. Don't clutch me. Don't try to restrain me. It is certain I am leaving you bodily, physically. I will ascend to the Father. But then that's very needful, isn't it? Mary of Magdala may not have been convinced of that at the moment. But it is needful and helpful, the ascension. And I would have you to understand the redemption work of Jesus as a unit, as a whole. So that the cross needs the resurrection, and the resurrection needs the ascension, and the ascension needs the sending of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, a unit, a whole. And there is a true and biblical sense in which not any part is complete without the rest of it. Now you may be saying in your mind, "I have been brought up in the truth, and I know the expression, the finished work of the cross." And indeed it is finished. Who could equal what he did? Who could surpass what he did? He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He alone stood in our stead. He alone could make full atonement for our sins. And in that way, yes, indeed, the finished work of the cross. But remember, St. Paul says, and we have it recorded at the end of the fourth chapter of Romans, that he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. And it is not until he comes forth in the resurrection that we know we are justified. The cross needs the resurrection. Now the resurrection needs the ascension. Because in the ascension, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to the Father's right hand to administer what he accomplished. He accomplished our redemption on the cross. We're justified when he came forth the third day alive. But for all of that to benefit us in our salvation, it is essential that he ascend, that he go bodily to the place of glory. We read it in Psalm 24 together earlier in this service. Who may ascend into God's presence? Who has the right to go there? You don't. I don't. He does. He has clean hands and a pure heart and never lifted up his soul to unrighteousness, deceit, wrong. He has the right to ascend. And it's good and necessary for us for him to administer what he accomplished. And then remember, 10 days after the ascension, the ascended Son with the Father send the Holy Spirit. So Christ's cross and resurrection accomplished redemption. The risen Christ in the ascension to the Father's right hand administers that. If you allow, parcels it out for us. And the Spirit of God applies what was accomplished and what is being administered. It's a unit. It's a whole. Mary, don't hold me back. I've not yet ascended. That's our clue as to what that word means. Not just don't touch me. It's all right for him to be touched. He is in his resurrection body. It is real. It is touchable. It can be photographed. Just don't cling to me and hold me back, because I have not yet ascended. How the ascension was about to occur, just 40 days. It was certain to occur. It really was necessary to occur. And so the urgency with which our Lord Jesus speaks of his own ascension. And we want to understand that as we come to the 40th day after our Easter celebration. Easter is, in church terms, a movable feast, isn't it? Sometimes in March, sometimes in April, and Ascension Day and Pentecost always gauged on the calendar after the celebration of Easter. It comes this year, Thursday, this week. Rejoice in his absence. Be glad that you don't see him physically, like Kodak could see him. Rejoice in his ascension, because he has gone there to the place of glory and power to administer what he accomplished. Glance with me in the first chapter of Ephesians, and that passage which precedes what we have read, And I ask you to note in Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 15 and to the end of the chapter, there is the record of a prayer of St. Paul the Apostle. And in that prayer, he is asking essentially in verse 18 that the eyes of your understanding or the eyes of your heart, a wonderful expression, heart eyes. I've known people whose physical sight failed so much that they could not read the Holy Scripture. But eyes of the spirit of the heart were better than ever. I've known people who could read fine print without spectacles, who needed clarity of vision in the heart. It's a wonderful thing to have eyes of the heart. And St. Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be wide open and focused on what? A number of things. On the great power of the resurrection, verse 20. About his being seated far above all principality and power, verse 21. And then verse 22 says, as he prays, and he, God the Father, put all things under his, Christ's, feet, and gave him, Christ Jesus, to be head over all things for the benefit of the church. When he raised him from the dead, and according to verse 20, seated him at his right hand. Who has a right to go back? He does. And he takes his right in the ascension in our behalf to administer what he accomplished. Great truth. And Christians ever have said he ascended into heaven. The urgency of which he speaks. The other caption, just two today, not three. Union. The urgency of the ascension. The unitedness or union of the ascension. It's brought out in both passages that we have before us, in John 20 and Ephesians 2. But our Lord Jesus says in 20:17, do not restrain me, clutch me, hold me back, because I have not yet ascended. He says, go and tell my brothers. My brothers. That's significant. It's the first time the believers are called brothers by our Lord. They're called servants. And in the upper room, they're friends. But now you see relationship is underscored. Brothers. Not by physical bonds, but spiritual. These men, these followers of mine, they are my brothers. We are united by the work of grace. Union. Urgency, union, brothers. And so we speak of the Church of Jesus Christ, the true body of believers, as being a household made up of brothers and sisters. I know there are denominations in our Southland that call their ministers brother. I'm glad I don't belong to those denominations. I don't think the title should signify an office. Plus, I just don't like it. Some like blue and some like green. They're free to do as they please. But all who are in Christ Jesus are brothers. Not just those who hold this office. Well, I've been called worse things than brother, you understand. But I want us to understand brother implies relationship. Union. Now tell the ones who are united to me that I am ascending to my Father and your Father. There it is, the same Father. It is our Father. His by nature, ours by adoption, albeit, but one Father, one God. It's even more clear, this union, in the language of Ephesians 2, where it says in verse 5, first of all, even when we were dead in trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ, union, unitedness, because we are saved by grace. And verse 6, raised up together and made us sit together, 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 together. There it is. In the resurrection, in the ascension. United with Him. To get hold of this, let me remind us that we say very simply in the gospel, can say it to a child who can grasp it, open your heart and let Jesus come in. Don't we say that? We sing it. We mean that. Recognizing your need for salvation and cleansing, ask Jesus into your heart. And the kindergarten child, understanding gospel truth, doesn't think there's some physical union there. No, he is bodily, physically at the Father's right hand, but spiritually he comes into our hearts, doesn't he? Yes, we are both physical and spiritual beings. And that spiritual, unseen, invisible part of us, real, where does it go at death? We take the remains of a Marie Alexander, put them in the ground, waiting for the return of Christ. She, in her intangible, non-physical being, is not in that physical part any longer. Jesus doesn't come in physically. He comes into our hearts spiritually. We've invited Jesus into our hearts. That's the heart of the gospel. That's true for you, isn't it? Nobody is a Christian unless they have Jesus in their hearts. That's simply. But, conversely, the Bible talks about our being in Him, in Jesus. And the truth is this. You invite Jesus in to your heart to be your Lord and Savior. He invites you into His heart. It's wonderful. And sometimes we minimize that part of it. Both things are true. And so St. Paul, when he begins this epistle to the Ephesians, speaks of the saints, Ephesians 1:2, who are in Christ. Yes, he's in their hearts, but they are in His heart. Colossians, the same way. To the saints at Colossae, in Christ. The same in the epistle to the Philippians, in Christ. Union. The ascension. I'm going to your Father and my Father. My God and your God. And you're going with me spiritually. Sounds mysterious in a way, doesn't it? That we can be spiritually in His heart in the heavenlies and here at the same time. I find my mind running into its limitations even as I relate this truth, but it's true according to St. John 20, Ephesians 2. When He ascends, if I'm in His heart, I ascend spiritually. Even though I'm sitting here on these uncomfortable pews, just be glad you came at 11 o'clock today. At 8:15 we were without air conditioning. And everyone, including the preacher, was hurrying toward the conclusion of it all. It was so stuffy and hot in here. We were very present, I tell you. And I'm very grateful for technicians who will work around the clock and come on Sunday morning and cool off Presbyterians. We're physically here. I see you. I hear you. You see me. But there's a part of me that you can't see. There's a part of you I can't see. And it's united. It's in union with the Lord Jesus, whom we do not see. Because he is at the Father's right hand. And if I have Jesus in my heart, Jesus has me in his heart. And where he is, I'm with him in the same way that he is with me where I am. Do you see that? And so I live in some way, in some measure, in the heavenly realm where he is king. Psalm 24 is the psalm of the crown. And the rejected, reviled man of sorrows is now in the place of glory and government in behalf of the church. And I live by that perspective. I want to be a good citizen in this realm, this kingdom. Vote, work, live. Interesting to come back into Alabama after all of these years and try to figure out who to vote for in the forthcoming primaries and general election. Already made one decision or two. Good citizen here. But this kingdom will pass. This kingdom is shakable. I'm also a citizen of that kingdom. And that kingdom with its standards and with its sovereign have primary value and importance over this kingdom. And so I do not always live according to the standards of this age. But of that kingdom, I have dual citizenship. Some of us, by virtue of family line, have the privilege of dual citizenship. Members of this kingdom and another kingdom. Ascension. It's all a part of redemption. And the Lord Jesus sounds the note of urgency because it's about to happen. It's certain to happen. It needs to happen. But the note of union, together, 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 says St. Paul, so that where I am, there you may be also. Now live like that kingdom. If we are in him and he is in us, the ascended Lord, with all of his authority, gives the power, standard, purpose for my life in this kingdom. Crucified, resurrected, ascended. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, seal this truth to our hearts and bring forth the right application. We who confess Christ in our hearts may understand that we are in his great heart. And what comfort and joy and hope that is. And may we live now in this present land and republic as citizens nonetheless of the eternal kingdom where Christ has all authority and power. Enable us by the ascension of our crucified and risen Lord to live acceptably in both kingdoms concurrently. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is